This is a Digital Dharma Mission recording. All our podcasts are in the public domain. For more information and to support, please visit www.digitaldharmamission.com. The Sangha in the Modern World, written by Venerable Dr. Vapola Sri Rahula, read by Ivan Lim. As order of the Sangha is constituted and conducted according to the Vinaya, it should be made clear, even very briefly, what the Vinaya is. First of all, it must be distinctly understood that the Vinaya is different from the Dharma. The Dharma is the teaching which deals with such doctrines as the Four Noble Truths, including the Eightfold Noble Path, the Dependent Origination, Cause and Effect, Impermanence, Suffering and Egolessness of our existence, Four Forms of the Presence of Mindfulness or Awareness, 37 qualities leading to enlightenment, etc., etc. This teaching, the Dharma, is meant for all, monks and nuns, laymen and laywomen, without distinction or discrimination. The Dharma is true and valid universally, everywhere and at all times. It does not change and cannot be changed or modified anywhere, at any time. But Vinaya is a code, a set of rules, a convention accepted and established for the good, orderly and smooth conduct of a particular community, namely the community of the Sangha, in a particular geographical area at a particular period of history. As such, it is subject to change and bound to be changed and modified in different geographical areas at different times according to need. Thus, the Buddha himself amended and modified some Vinaya rules several times according to circumstances. For example, the rule on Komina food was modified by the Buddha seven times to suit different circumstances. Some Vinaya rules were changed to suit certain geographical regions. According to the original rules, an assembly of 10 bhikkhus was essential for granting higher ordination. Footwear with more than one layer of leather could not be worn. Bathing generally had to be once a fortnight. Leather should not be used for mat to sit on. When these rules were enforced, a bhikkhu named Sona from Avanti appealed to Buddha on behalf of his teacher Mahakachayana Thera and said, "Lord, it is very difficult to find bhikkhus in Avanti. Therefore, let the Lord approve that the number of bhikkhus required for granting higher ordination be reduced." The surface of the earth of the country of Avanti is rough. May the Blessed One therefore permit the use of footwear consisting of more than one layer of leather. The people of Avanti appreciate frequent bathing. May the Blessed One therefore permit frequent bathing over there in that country. Just as the people of mid country use mats to sit on, the people of Avanti use hides to sit on. May the Lord, therefore, permit the use of heights as seats over there. Thereupon, the Buddha summoned the bhikkhus to a congregation and changed the original rules, and declared that these new rules would be valid, not only in Avanti, but also in all other countries except mid-country of India. 10th, 4th. the higher ordination ceremony could be performed by a gathering of any five bhikkhus, with at least one of them learned in the Vinaya. The use of footwear with more than one layer of leather, frequent bathing, and the use of hide for seats came into practice. It is stated in the Bessa Jakandaka of the Mahavagga that during a famine, certain rules pertaining to food and drink were relaxed and changed for the convenience of bhikkhus. Earlier, the Buddha had ruled that it was improper for the bhikkhu to keep food inside his residence, to cook food there, and to store food for himself when a famine ravaged the city of Rajagaha. A careful reading of the Vinaya Pitaka will clearly show that the rules of discipline were laid down and changed, amended or modified in accordance with changing economic and social conditions to suit times and places. The Buddha system of directing the Sangha was democratic. It is because of this underlying broad principle that the Buddha, as mentioned in the Mahaparinibbana Sutta, just before his passing away, told Ananda that if the members of the Sangha desired, they could abolish or modify minor rules after his death. These questions of minor rules were raised at the first council held at Rajagaha within the first few months after the Buddha Parinibbana. Different opinions were expressed as to what was that mean by minor rules. The council reproved Ananda for not ascertaining from the Buddha what rules the master meant by the term minor. No unanimity of opinion was possible on that question. Therefore, on a motion brought forward by the council's president, Mahakasapa Thera, the Sangha unanimously decided neither to lay down new rules nor to annul any of the existing ones, but to follow those that had already been laid down by the master. Mahakasapa Thera's main argument in support of his resolution was that public opinion would go against them if they removed any rules. However, minor they might be, it is of great significance that he did not advance any reason, apart from that of public censure, for not changing the rules. Obviously, there was no practical need to change any rules so soon. From that day to this, as far as is known, not a single Vihana rule was officially changed, nor were new rules introduced into the body of the Vinaya by the Sangha of the Theravada. But as time went on, bhikkhus had to face the realities of life under newly developed circumstances, and to realize that impracticability and difficulty of following some rules in their original form. Therefore, without changing the letter of law, monks discovered ways and means of overcoming the difficulty by interpreting the law without compromising themselves. These interpretations and decisions concluded first at the Mahavihara at Anuraputtura in Sri Lanka, and later accepted by all Theravada countries, are known under the term Palimutta Kavinichaya, which is distinction not found in the original canonical text. These are tantamount to amendments or new rules, though they are not considered as such. When the community of monks began to grow numerically and their services to the country were regarded as essential, large and numerous endowments were made to monasteries for their maintenance. These temporalities brought many changes in the life of the Sangha, as the monks were obliged to make use of the landed property of the monastery. They had to religionize it. Thus, in order to regularize the new situation, which did not exist in any time of the Buddha, the Sangha had to agree upon the new Vinaya convention known as Labbasima, which means income boundary. Therefore, the Samanta Pasadika, the commentary on the Vinaya, says, as for Labbasima, it was neither allowed by the Buddha, nor established by the Theras who recited the Dhamma. But kings and ministers, after building a vihara, define boundaries between a distance of a gavuta, half a jojana or a jojana around the vihara, and set up pillars inscribed with the names saying, this is the income boundary of our vihara, and fixed boundaries stating, whatever is produced within this area, we give all that to our vihara. This is called Labbasima. According to the Vinaya, a bhikkhu should not dig the ground or get another to do so. If he does, he commits an offense called pasitiya. But this was impracticable when there was a landed property attached to the monastery. Therefore, in the course of commenting on this rule, the Samanta Pasadika records an interesting decision as Palimuttaka Vinicaya. It says, this is a decision not found in the original text. If one says, dig upon, it is proper, for only a place dug out is called upon. Therefore, it is proper usage. This is a matter rule in other matters such as dig a tank, a lake, a pit. But it is not proper to say, dig this place, dig upon in this place. It is proper to say, dig yams, dig roots, without specify where. It is not proper to say, dig this creeper, dig yams, or dig roots in this place. This is an ingenious way of getting over the difficulty by interpreting the letter of the law with legal acumen. After all, the Vinaya is a legal system and it should so be interpreted. In ancient times, not only landed property, but also irrigation reservoirs or tanks yielding considerable income were offered to the Sangha. But according to the commentary, a tank should be accepted by the Sangha only when the donor offers it with the proper formula. If one simply says, I offer a tank or reservoir to the Sangha, it should not be accepted. A reservoir should be accepted when it is offered to the Sangha for the purpose of enjoying the four requisites. Once a Sangha recognized as a satiku property as a necessity for the perpetuation of the religion, it obviously had the duty of protecting its property. Therefore, the monks were advised and authorized to entertain even rebels, robbers, and marauders within the property of the Sangha. If this had to be done in order to protect the wealth of the monastery. Thus, Abhayatera, chief incumbent of Mihintele, entertained a rebel and his gang who came to plunder the monastery and thereby saved its assets. At the end of the story, the Samanta Pasadika says that an intelligent monk should act in this manner. If a bhikkhu knows medicine, The Vinaya allows him to attend medically on his fellow monks, his parents, and a few other close associates. But he should not treat medically anyone at all as a professional medical man would. Yet, quite naturally, people who knew him would go to such a monk for medical advice. However, if a layman requests a bhikkhu to treat a patient or prepare some medicine, the request should not be complied with. Lay people should know that the proper way of consulting a monk. If a layman inquires from a monk as to what is given a certain ailment, when it's proper for the monk to tell him. If a man says, "My mother is ill, please prescribe some medicine," no reply should be made. But bhikkhus may start a conversation among themselves about what was given to a certain monk when he was suffering from a similar illness. If the inquiry listens to the conversation and treats his mother accordingly, the monk has not violated any Vinaya rule. Such examples, which can be multiplied, illustrate how the life of the Sangha was changed and developed as a result of social and economic changes, and how the Vinaya was interpreted, modified, and adapted accordingly. In the light of all this, what are the problems of the Sangha in the world today? The reality has to be faced. Buddhist monks living in different parts of the 20th century world cannot follow the way of life that was practiced in India in the 5th century BC or in Sri Lanka in the 5th century AC. Certain changes and modifications should be made to suit social and economic conditions in the modern world, and this is quite in keeping with the tradition of Buddhist history, as has been shown already. Undoubtedly, some changes, modification, adaptations are necessary today. Nothing can survive without change. Adapt or perish is the inexorable law of nature. But this adaptation and changes must be done, not hurriedly, but with a great care, caution, deliberation, and wisdom. May I, with deep respect, submit that this problem be taken up as a subject for deliberation by this August International Congress of the World Buddhist Sangha Council. Thank you, our good friends, for listening to the Dharma. Our spiritual advisor is Venerable K. Ratanasara. Digital Dharma Mission is produced by Dharmakami Buddhist Society and Dharma Nusari Friends of Sri Lankaramaya Buddhist Temple in Singapore. For more information and to support us, please visit www.digitaldharmamission.com.